Hello, and welcome to Besotted Geek. I am Stork, but I'd rather be Jason Statham. And let's start off this episode, as we always do, with the box office for August 4th through 6th. And coming in at number one, again, is Barbie. Made another $53 million for $459 million out 3 weeks. And over $1 billion worldwide, I'd seen in several sites. Crazy. I can't explain it, but good for you, Barbie. What's next? I don't know. My Little Pony movie. I know some bronies would like to see that. Looking at you, Sean, from Pittsburgh Nerd.
Ooh.
But coming in new this week, at number two, Meg 2, The Trench, made $30 million. All right. So, whatever. It's a stupid shark movie. The first one wasn't good. I'm sure it cost a ton of money. But maybe not as much as I'm thinking. It looks fun and dumb and a good summer movie. I just, again, the Barbie is going to blow everything else out of the water. So you're going to be hard-pressed to make money while this movie's still out in the first. Who knows? This thing's going to be in the rankings in the top 10 for a while, I would guess. Oppenheimer came in at number three for another $29 million for $228. And chugging along, doing great. Again, a drama, making that much money, great. No complaints there. Coming in at number four, another new movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, made $28 million for a total of $43 million. So that tells me it must have come out on like Wednesday or something. It's only been out a week. So yeah, whenever there's a discrepancy like that, that has to be it, right? Unless you're Sound of Freedom, which didn't come in fifth. Haunted Mansion did. So suck it, Sound of Freedom. It made $9 million for $42. Did Haunted Mansion. Sound of Freedom, though, did make another $7 million for $164. And coming in seventh, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, $6 million for $151. Eighth, Talk to Me, $6 million for $22. Ugh. That's, I have no idea, again, what it is. I'm assuming horror. That's pretty low. Ninth, Indiana Jones, Dial Destiny, made another $1 million for $170. Hey, let's get this thing on Disney Plus, guys. You're getting embarrassed at this point. 10, Elemental, made $1 million for a total $148. Yeah, Disney, kind of crap in the bed. They had Haunted Mansion, but that didn't even do that great. And their other, I don't know. I think people are pissed at Disney. I know Star Wars fans. Or should I say Star Wars fan is, because you ruined Star Wars for me, even though it was ruined before that. But still, I don't know. I just think there's a souring on Disney. Maybe to some extent rightfully earned, but I don't like painting with a broad stroke over everything like that. Just because Disney owns a property doesn't mean they Disney-fy it. Doesn't mean they're killing it. They've done good thing with the Star Wars property, to my belief. I mean, Andor, I think, is top three, maybe. I'll go that far. Best live-action Star Wars things I've ever seen. Yeah, so there's good and bad. I think they really fucked up the whole episodes 7, 8, and 9. I'm not going to deny that. You know, even as much as I liked episode 7, I think they screwed the whole thing up, so. Yeah, give and take, but just because Disney owns it or whatever, it doesn't mean they make crap. I don't know. Just my outside opinion, looking at it from a rational and sensible standpoint, as I usually do. But let's move on to getting to know you. And I don't know, not too much going on with me. I'm a bit down with the sickness. I got a bit of a cough going on, a bit of out of breath after going upstairs. Rapid heartbeat. I don't know what's going on. I have some anemia, so that might be it. Acting up, a little flare up. But it's been going on for a bit. And I did have a fever one day, so then I was like, oh, is it pneumonia? I don't know. But I'm feeling a little bit better. It's just I can't shake this. Like, if I do anything strenuous, I'm just like, oh, wiped. So, yeah. Oh, I did get my glasses, too, my bifocals the other day, which aren't of the sort that I was expecting, where it's like a definitive line that you can see where it's like, oh, this is, you look down and you see this little, you can see better close up, and you can actually tell if you're looking at the glasses. No, it's all just one flat lens as far as you can tell. It's going to take some getting used to. I think it gave me a headache the first time I wore them, but I'm expecting them to be usable, I hope. If they don't work out, I think I'll just be like, hey, I just want regular glasses next time, and I'll get some cheap readers or something. Then I can have two pairs of glasses. How cool is that? But anyway, yeah, can't shake a cough. So if I pause a lot during this one, which I do anyway, I am of the Shatner / Walken acting school. That's going to be, I'll blame it on that this time. All right, enough of that. Let's lighten things up. New stuff watched. Star Trek Strange New Worlds, season 2, episode 9, Subspace Rhapsody, the musical one. And, yeah, the more I think about it, the less I liked it. In the moment, I had fun with it, but it's definitely my least favorite. And I I'll say it. I like musicals. I like good musicals, and this was not one. It seemed like they didn't really think about it that much. It was like, hey, other shows do musical episodes. Why can't we? I think I sent this to Ryan Terry, who has, as far as I know, yet to watch it out of fear. the gif of Goldblum from Jurassic Park, that they were so preoccupied if they could, they didn't stop and think if they should. And when you watch it, like going into anything like a TV show or a movie or whatever, you think about the actors. And I always think that, yeah, these actors, they probably grew up performing in plays in high school and musicals and on stage and learned different craft like singing, dancing, acting at the same time, things like that. But not everybody did. And it's very apparent in this episode. So it felt forced to do that. I think it is definitely in a horror episode, and she was the best one as far as the singing, I think. I'm not like a good judge of that, though. Peacock is way more attuned to that, but even after the first 5-minute intro, she was like, whoa, auto-tune much? And I was like, oh, were they? I don't know. But thinking about like, oh, I'm sure a lot of these people had a musical background in that aspect to a certain extent. Yeah, I think, but then after you watch it, you're like, the doctor definitely didn't. He even comes out and says, I don't sing. And it's very apparent because they don't even give him that much. And when he does, it's not good, auto-tune or not. And you think about like, well, Rebecca Romijn, well, she wasn't an actor. She was a model first. And I think the woman who plays Nurse Chapel, what's her name? I think it's Jen Bush, maybe. I think she was a model first. So I don't think that necessarily you go from model to like, well, I have to practice doing stage stuff to become an actor and things like that. I think model is a leap into acting, not into I have to start at the bottom and work my way up as on the stage and in musicals and play. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just they weren't great. So I don't think Gregory Peck, who plays Spock, did any musical things. Anson Mount seemed very uncomfortable. So to force it like that, I think it's a misplay. And the writing wasn't good. If they would have done something fun with the actual songs and things like that, that could have saved it. But they didn't. It was very generic and repetitive. A lot of like repeating the same line over and over again. And it just didn't work. Even like, and they probably wouldn't want to spend this amount of money, but if you could kind of do parodies of famous musical songs, like something from Hamilton, something from Les Mis that's popular, something from Cats even, I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. Like, I think they did. I think it was based on like a Rodgers and Hammerstein, which I don't even know any of those. I'm not that deep into it. I've just seen a lot of them based on, you know, being married to Peacock. But if they would have done that, it would have been, at least you could recognize it and have fun with it that way, even if they didn't perform it well. So I think it was a miss. I think the one benefit, though, it still had good character moments. Like I said, it's definitely in a horror episode about communication, things like that. So they tried to just science it up and make sense about why they were singing, things like that. And whatever, that's Star Trek. I can excuse the reason for it. I just don't think they pulled it off well. But good Laan, I still don't know her name. Noonien Singh, the security chief, good moments for her. I didn't mind her singing, but again, I don't know. The most cringe thing, though, I laughed when I was watching it, but then I could feel myself, like, blushing because I was like, oh, I'm laughing, but it's bad, was the Klingon stuff. It was not good. So, yeah, that just, it, I don't know. I'm surprised they did it the way they did it, like an auto-tuned rapper type thing. And it was like, ugh, I don't know. This just seems not good. And at, like I was talking to Ryan Terry, the professor, like, why didn't they do like a Klingon opera? That would have been cool. Like a cool, quote unquote, cool in terms of talking Star Trek. But that would have been like a nice nod because the Klingon opera is things they've talked about in the past and it's music. So that would have been a fun way, even if it was like in English so we could understand it, just being like they're singing in that way or something. It was just to do like an auto-tune rap thing felt wrong on a couple levels. I'm not going to get into it, but yeah, it just didn't work. And I didn't hate the episode, and I went into it really willing to give it a chance. And I don't think they pulled it off at all. So yeah, it's probably my least favorite. And I had some problems with the first couple episodes of this season, but I think this one was worse. So take that for what you will. A lot of people I see online are like, I hope every Star Trek show does a musical episode. This was so good. I'm like, man, stop drinking the Kool-Aid for like a minute. Like, we get it. You like Star Trek. You can still be critical when it's necessary to be critical, because I just don't think it was that good. Maybe you did love it, then good for you. But I see a lot of people that hate Star Trek, new, that use the term new Trek, and they just won't like anything new no matter what. But then there's also people that will just die on every hill and be like, nope, this was the, every episode is the best episode. And that's not the case either. There's ups and downs, there's peaks and valleys in seasons and shows. So just, you can like something and still be critical. So I just wish people would be a little more honest. And because you're not a fan of an episode, that doesn't make you less of a fan to me. I don't know. It just, I see this stuff online. I'm just like, come on. I hate the people who hate new, quote, again, quote unquote, new Trek. Whenever I see that, I'm just like, oh, I know you just hate it because it's, you think it's too woke or there's an agenda or something like that. You don't even give it a chance. Well, fuck you for doing that. But by the same token, if you're just like, everything that comes out is perfect and it's the best thing you've ever seen, and then you're kind of just the other extreme to me. Be a little critical. Like, look at it with open eyes. Don't just drink the Kool-Aid every single time, because it's not. Like, there's varying degrees. And everybody, I just wish everybody could get along. I wish everybody could like, we all like Star Trek in certain aspects or degrees or whatever. And I'm not saying that if you love this episode, you're an idiot and you don't know. No, but if you think it's flawless, why? Because I see flaws. And if you think it's god awful and terrible, why? Because I see good aspects to it too. And I think that's how you can view almost every episode, at least what I've watched so far. So I don't know. I guess I got on a soapbox there. Let me step down. That was a tall one. And I'll move on to sports ball, because that was all I've watched other than sports ball. But let's do that. I'm going to start out where we always do, golf. Lucas Glover, age 43, wins the Wyndham Championship at minus 20. And it's kind of cool because that got him into the FedEx Cup playoffs, which start next week. And Peacock kind of looked up the rules to it. I don't remember them. There's like, you start with like 70 and it narrows down every week or something like that. There's three tournaments coming up, and I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk about it as it happens, but yeah, this is a blast from the past, kind of Lucas Glover. Man of about my own age, I kind of remember him from when I was a golf viewer back in the day. So I wasn't really rooting for him. I was rooting for Henley, but there was a weather delay and we didn't even get to see the end of it. So I think it was like a 2-hour delay. We kept checking back in, but we were watching Murder, She Wrote in the meantime. Yeah, we're old. And we kind of flipped back and forth, and we must have missed it at some point, or I don't know if they even showed it, but he won. I think he shot par on the last 4 holes, and Henley was like 3 over in the last 3 holes. I don't know. It was whatever. He won. Good for him. And I am kind of looking forward to this FedEx Cup because I've never watched it before, which is weird because I think it's been around for quite a while. I guess I haven't watched golf for like 20 years or so. Because I think it's been around for that long. But anyway, in other sporting news, the U.S. team was eliminated 0-0, another barn burner in soccer, and 5-4, and I believe penalty kicks by Sweden in the knockout round, the first round of the knockout round of 16 for the Women's World Cup. So they gone. And they weren't worried after that last shitty performance. And as a result, they were beaten by Sweden. So, yeah, is it a shock? I don't know. After the way they've been playing, I would say no, but they're supposed to be really good, I guess. Whatever. Again, not a big soccer watcher, so it's newsworthy. That's all I guess. That's all, not to me, but hell, I put it in there. Neither is golf to a lot of people, so. There's a lot of realignment in college football, too. I didn't look too deep into it, but it's exciting to hear about because I think college sports should be radically, radically realigned. And, maybe I'll make a note of that and do a post. I'm not going to talk about it on a podcast because it would take way too long. Or maybe I'll make a video of, like, where they should be in each conference or something. I don't know, because I have thoughts. I've had thoughts for a long time about how college sports should be realigned. So, yeah, I have a lot of big plans, though, don't I? They never come to fruition. I'm still working on that video best 15 Nintendo games based on TV shows. That hasn't happened yet. All right, let's move on to trailers. Guess what? I didn't see any trailers. There was nothing on the horizon that I hadn't already seen or looked interesting to me enough to watch. So I don't know if that's strike related or just my taste, but yeah, that's kind of disappointing, I guess. I do have, however, a bit of nerd news. First up, some live action anime adaptations are on the horizon because why not tap into a super popular genre, manga and anime. It blows away sales of comic books, and comic book movies are super popular. So how could this fail? There's ways, of course. They're not well-known characters to the general public of the West, I think is the biggest detriment. Your father or grandfather didn't grow up knowing these characters like a Superman or a Batman or a Spider-Man. So that's going to be a hindrance to the success, I feel. They're not in the popular culture. I guess that's a weird way to put it, but it's that thing that, Jim from Weird Science, who I do a lot of podcasting with on the side, says, yeah, you know, he brings this up. You knew when Walking Dead was popular because your grandma would talk about it. Or like the Wii was a popular gaming system because your grandmother knew it or used it or something like that. That's when you can tell that it's really sunk into popular culture when everybody of every age group knows it. And they don't for these characters or properties to a large extent. I would say that one of them is pretty sunken into the popular culture. I'll get there in a minute. But I think that's like a hurdle for live action anime to jump. Also, just making it true to the fans who are there and want to support it. If you shoot them in the foot, you're really screwing yourself, because you got to rely on them and then them hopefully to support it financially and word of mouth and things like that, I feel. So anyway, there's a few more that I'm going to mention, but these are the ones I know that I can kind of speak on a little bit. But My Hero Academia, which is something I'm reading and discussing on podcast, you can find it in one place. You could find it is patreon.com/besottedgeek, also Weird Science. And this was like the headline image for this news article. And it showed the big superhero All Might is his name, but it superimposed the Rock's face over it. And I was just like, that's not right. So it's going to be really hard, because these characters, for the people who love the, and this has, I don't think it has chapters, as many chapters. I know it doesn't have as many chapters as like a One Piece, which has like 800 or something, I think. But I think it's got like 300 chapters, My Hero, plus an offshoot or two. So it's very popular and still ongoing, I believe. I'm not caught up at all. I'm on like volume 10 or so. But you know the characters. There's anime of it also. So I even have the voices of the characters, because I have watched a lot of those episodes as well. I have the voices in my head. I've got the images in my head. And it's going to be hard to cast that, I think. I think that's going to be one of the trickier things about converting stuff like anime and manga to live action is just flat out the casting of it. Because I look at Marvel and DC, and the art styles, even though some are different than others and whatnot, they're pretty generic. Like, you can, like, almost any beefcake dude could play Batman, Superman, Aquaman. You know, it's just generic almost. You just have to have a different hairstyle. It doesn't really matter what you look like, as long as you got muscles and a certain hairstyle. You can be almost any Western comic book character. There's certain body types, of course. Like, you want your Spider-Man to be a little thinner, a little younger, usually. But a lot of them are just big dudes. And yeah, you got to find somebody who can act if you want to make a good one. But that's pretty much all you need. But a lot of these manga, the art is so distinct and different, and they do spend time making the characters look a specific way. So yeah, a lot of it is hairstyle still, I guess. But I think it's going to be tricky to nail the characters, because they do a lot of good character work in these mangas as well, as opposed to 80 years of Bruce Wayne, and we kind of just get the same thing, and we know him, and it's set in stone, and it's this way, and it's kind of generic after all these years. Whereas there has to be personalities that play out for a lot of these characters. And I don't know. I just think it's going to be really tough. And it's so dependent upon the main character too, that boy, if you don't get that, it's just going to flop. And I think it's even hard when they make an anime based on a manga, which most of them are, I think, just to find the right voice. So yeah, it's tricky. I think that's one of the main hurdles of making live action, but also staying true to just the overall story and things like that. It was a video I watched. The complaint was, you know, a lot of stuff is strayed from what made the original work great. And I think they brought up Last Airbender or something like that. Like, that's just a disgrace to the people who like that manga. So anyway, My Hero Academia, which I am a big fan of, and I am very worried. Not like, if it looks like crap, I just won't watch it. So there's that. When I say very worried, whatever, it doesn't have to even be a live action thing. They're doing it. I hope it's good. If it is, I think it'd be great if they could stick the landing, but it's basically Harry Potter meets superheroes. So it's a really great concept, and the characters are so lovable, but you have to get the right people. And that is going to be a theater release. Also, they're doing Death Note again, I think for the third time on Netflix. And I think Netflix might have done the last one, which was a total turd, that I tried watching it before. I don't know if this is the third or fourth, because the anime is actually pretty good. I haven't watched all of it. I finished the manga, and it gets nuts, but it's one of the best ones that I've read. Not that I've read a ton, but it's really, really, really good. It's probably the one that I would point to, like, hey, you want to try manga, try Death Note and see what you think. Because it does go crazy places, but the first volume or two, it really gets you into the characters. And I think if you like it, then you would keep going. And I'm not going to say it's perfect, because I think it gets a little too crazy, but it's really good. And they did, I don't know if they did two different adaptations of live action, because I thought they did like a mini series once and then just a flat out movie, but I might be wrong there. But I believe Willem Dafoe played the Shinigami, which is like the god of death, Ryuk, which should work, but somehow didn't. And I kind of want to go back and watch it just to see where it went wrong. But it's basically this kid gets a notebook, and in it you write a person's name and they die. And he is totally fine with doing this and wants to make the world a better place, and gets like this huge god complex, and it just gets crazier and crazier. So it's a really interesting concept and well done. As far as the manga, even like I said, it gets a little nutsy, but the live action thing, I don't think I even finished it, and it was not well received by fans. And here's the one I was talking about earlier that I think is one of those pop culture ones that you just know. Pokemon. Like, people just know that. Like, I'm sure grandmas know this. Gotta catch them all. This is going to be a Netflix thing. I don't know. Like, they did the Detective Pikachu. Is that what they're going to do? Like, just live action people, but animated Pokemon? Because I don't see it any other way. And that was successful, I think. So that could work, because is there really a story? They don't have to follow, to me, a set script. They can kind of make up their own thing, I feel. I'm sure there's written stories or anime that like have a story to it, but I also feel like it's so open to doing whatever. And maybe it's just because I haven't read or watched any of it, but I think that's kind of a no-brainer, especially after the success, I believe, again, of Detective Pikachu. So yeah, I think Pokemon will work. Naruto, I'm not hugely familiar with Naruto. It's going to be a theater one. It's very popular. I know that. That's pretty much all I can say about it. It's a kid with spiky hair, and what's he got, like a Nelly Band-Aid under his eye or something, and he knows karate. That's extent of my knowledge. But again, I'm sure there's like a rabid fan base for it, and you have to cast it well, and you have to follow the story and hope that other people who don't have a clue about Naruto watch it. That's I think that's going to be the hard sell, because as popular overall as manga and anime is, I don't think the general public, it's not as popular with them. And if you want to make money, you got to get some of them in too. It's like this Barbie movie that is making $1 billion. Not everybody's seen that movie played with Barbies. You got to get the casuals in there too. And I don't know how many casuals are going to... I think the one thing going for, I believe, the Death Note remake, I think the Duffer brothers are connected to that, the guys who are doing Stranger Things, also on Netflix. So that has me intrigued. Like, they could probably pull off something creepy and spooky, which is kind of what Death Note is about to an extent. And I think even the My Hero has somebody connected to it. I want to say somebody who did Obi-Wan, maybe. So it seems like they're trying to get, for a Western audience, people who have had success with bigger projects. So that has some potential, I guess. And the last one I'll talk about, One Punch Man. And this is an older one I'm not too familiar with, but basically a superhero who one punch will totally obliterate anybody he's against. And I think it gets boring for him. So that could be very comedic, I feel. Again, having not read it or watched it. And that could work, I think. And I think you could kind of cast there's a wide array of people you could cast there. You could do like a Rock, I think. And that, like, look, I'm probably speaking out of turn here because people would be like, there's no way he could play One Punch Man. One Punch Man is this person or this size or whatever. He does look kind of ordinary at times, but I think that would be fun too, just because Rock is a good comedic actor. He's not a good actor, but I think he does comedic stuff well. And I could see him being like, yawn, I just hit somebody and they fall over and this is boring. And I think that's the premise. Again, I'm talking out of class, but yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that live action animated adaptations taking off, because Hollywood's a copycat business and the hot thing is comic book movies, or was. I think that bubble's burst, but they're still making them. And guess what? Manga's outselling comic books by a wide margin. So why not look into that? The trick is, do you try and westernize it too much and then lose the charm that I think is built into it from just the Eastern humor? It works. So it's hard to explain unless you have read it, but it just works. The way they write it, it still works as fun and humorous, but I feel like studios would try and screw with that because they wouldn't want to go in certain directions, or, well, people won't get this reference or whatever. But it's part of the charm of it. I don't know. It's really, like I said, it's really hard to explain. But if any of these sound interesting, I would suggest just trying to read some of them. Especially, I can attest that My Hero Academia, Death Note, personally, I've read, and they're really good. And also, I'll throw in Chainsaw Man and Promised Neverland and Spy Family. Those are ones that I've read and really enjoyed. So check them out or ask me for more suggestions and I will try and match up whatever your taste is, because there's pretty much a manga for anybody. There are so many different genres. It's way more accessible, oddly, than Western comics, because Western comics is, Jesus, it's probably like 90% superhero, and that's not your jam, then what are you going to do? Just not read comics, I guess, but you're missing out because there's some really good stories to be told, and a lot of them can be found in manga, but I will move on because I've talked about this way too long. All right, another nerd news. The Witcher is getting a new novel from author Andre Sapkowski, maybe? And I wasn't aware that the author was still kicking. I think I confused him with the author of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, who definitely died. And I thought that, well, we got some Witcher books and that's that. Now, it appears that he hasn't written a Witcher book in a while. Not as long as, say, R.R. Martin has written a Game of Thrones book, but it's been a while. And I think he concluded the main series from the article I read about Ciri and her journey and things like that. I guess she was the main character. I mean, the main character is still Geralt of Rivera. But I think her story was like the main throughway. And he's done some short stories based on Geralt and things like that. So the speculation is maybe this novel will just be another collection of short stories. But hey, if you're a Witcher fan, there's some news for you. I would actually like to read the books, because as much as I'm not a fan of season 3 and haven't finished it or plan to, I did like the game and I like the world, and it's very interesting. So I wouldn't mind giving a look at the original works that inspired it. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool that there's this modern fantasy that's popular that the author is still contributing to. Weird concept. Sorry, Otter. And in Star Wars news, The Mandalorian Season 4, it may be condensed into a movie. And there's a couple reasons for this. One, the ongoing strikes in Hollywood, writers and actors, right? So they may have to shorten it anyways, but also that's also forcing the timeline to be moved around. And I believe Dave Filoni's Star Wars movie is dependent upon two things before it, one of it being the season four of The Mandalorian. And if they can't do a full season, they might want to shrink it into a movie just to get it out in time to make that movie make sense. If any of that makes sense, because I think Filoni's movie is supposed to take place after Mando season four and the Star Wars Rey film, whatever that's going to be called. So, which I don't believe that they even have. That's going to take a while too, right? The Rey movie, that was just announced not that long ago, I thought. Maybe they have a script, but I doubt they're shooting it. And if there's a writer or an actor strike, they won't be. So I don't know why they have to force. I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to make a season of Mandalorian, though. Maybe that's the issue. But this is all speculation and rumor. So I just thought it was interesting that there's a couple reasons, mostly the strikes, I guess, but they have to have this out to make Filoni's movie make sense because everything ties together because everything has to nowadays. And that may screw over fans of The Mandalorian because they're used to having a nice 10-episode, 8-episode season. So do you sacrifice, I would say, your most popular aspect of the franchise in the hopes that it'll help a movie when the movies have kind of faltered anyways? I don't know. It seems risky a bit, especially when you're talking the amount of money that's going on here. I'm sure they're like weighing out all their options and it's very dependent upon these strikes. I would say, hey, you're dealing with billions of dollars for these projects. Kick a little bit to these side actors and the people who write the stuff. And don't buy that fourth home, that fourth mansion, if you're the film head, you know? I don't know. That's crazy talk, I guess. All right, let's finish up the show with some coming soon. And Only Murders in the Building, Season 3, comes to Hulu on August 8th, which is, as of this recording, today. And that's cool. I really enjoy that show. I didn't even know it was coming out with Season 3 this soon, so that's a surprise to me. Peacock and I just started Hijack, the Idris Elba vehicle, on Apple TV. We'll talk about that on our monthly movie podcast, and you can find that over at patreon.com/besotted geek. But the first few episodes, pretty good. A different hero. Not the one we wanted, but maybe the one we need in this show. Does Idris play? Also next week, the PGA Tour FedEx St. Jude Championship coming August 10th through 13th. I believe it's all on Peacock, but I'm sure the early play, like the first 2 days, are on Peacock, and maybe even the early play as far as hours on Saturday and Sunday, but I think CBS probably has the actual later play, which everybody likes to watch Saturday and Sunday, like 3 p.m. on. But anyway, the St. Jude Championship, and this, I don't know if I have the course, but on my PGA game on the PS5 that I got for free, one of the months on PS Plus, it has this championship, and I'm just wondering, hey, is that the same course? Because it's always cool to play the course before you watch it, and then you kind of, oh, I recognize this, and this is how I attacked this hole, and things like that. But this is the start of the FedEx Cup, which is going to be the next 3 weeks. And then September is going to be the Ryder Cup, which is, I think, Europe versus US. Different pairings and teams and things like that. And it's kind of fun. And then I think there's like a fall golf thing schedule. I don't know. But the last, I guess you would say, unaffiliated with the FedEx Cup event of the year was last week, the Wyndham. And technically, the FedEx Cup the next 3 weeks, that's its own thing. And then that's the season for golf, pretty much. So not that they're not going to keep playing golf all year. I'm convinced they just play. They don't stop. Even in the winter, I'm sure they're playing somewhere. But I don't know that they advertise that. Maybe they take a couple months off. I don't know. I'm not that big into it. Also coming this week in theaters, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, August 11th. And this is the kind of like a spinoff of Dracula. This is Dracula's trip from Transylvania to London on the ship, the Demeter, and what transpired there. I watched the trailer a while ago and talked about it somewhere. One of our shows. Looked good to me. Looked interesting. So if that's your bag, check that out. And also one that kind of snuck under the radar for me. Also August 11th, but on Netflix, Heart of Stone. It's a Gal Gadot, or Gadot, if you will. It's kind of like a spy thriller, action-y. I saw a clip for it, and I was like, well, that woman looks familiar. I didn't even know that it was her. And yeah, it kind of looks fun. So like Mission Impossible-y. Did I say that weirdly? Mission Impossible-y, or ish, maybe would be a better way to say it. So yeah, that's what's on my radar coming soon. And that about does it. That's the show. You can follow us on Twitter at BesottedGeekPod. I'm not saying X. Fuck him. Email us, BesottedGeek@gmail.com. Website, BesottedGeek.com. Merch, tpublic.com/user/BesottedGeek. Patreon.com/BesottedGeek. And twitch.tv/BesottedGeek. Well, that does it. Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you next week. See ya.